We are in a sermon series in Ephesians. Did you guys catch that the last couple weeks? We're in a teaching series in Ephesians, and the Ephesians are some really cool people. Paul is writing a letter to these people, and Paul is in prison at the time that he's writing this letter, because Paul knows how to party, I guess. Paul's imprisoned for his faith. Paul's imprisoned for teaching the word, teaching the gospel, teaching about Jesus, and other people didn't like that, so he was imprisoned. And so even in his imprisonment, he didn't stop teaching, preaching, encouraging, admonishing these churches with letters of how to be and how to move forward in Jesus. And so it's beautiful that we have this letter to go back to this church in Ephesus. And Matt had conquered the first, I think, 13, maybe 12 chapters, I don't know, chapters. We're done. There's only 6 chapters in Ephesians. Matt conquered the first bulk of it, and I'm going to cover this little last part that's really easy to teach, and it's going to be fun, okay? Okay, the Ephesians, in the opening of Paul's letter, he talks about how great they are, doesn't he? He talks about how smooth they are, about how Jesus has their hearts, and about how proud of them he is, and about how he's just excited that they know this Jesus, that they have this Jesus life, that they have this way about them. It's strong within this church in Ephesus, among the Gentiles and the Jews that make up this church. Much like if you've been with us through our Roman series, you've heard about this church being made up of Gentile people, which means anybody that's not a Jew, and the Jew people, which means people that are Jew. Jew people, okay? Yeah. Oh, you laugh now. Good. We just start talking about other races. Great. That's pretty terrible, Wyoming. So Paul's really excited about them, and he goes on after, you know, we talk about, what did Matt talk about? Anybody remember? We were chosen to what? What's that? Save the world. And we were built for His glory, God's applause, right? We are supposed to live a life in such a way that God is applauded. Does that make sense? Okay, so he's talking to them about this, but he's also talking about how proud he is. And then he gets to this beautiful prayer. Yes, sir.
We're here to make the world a better place.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's beautiful. And we do that through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for getting my attention, by the way. Some of these lights and things, and I'm just an old deaf rocker, so I don't hear much, all right? So thanks for getting my attention. We're here to make the world a better place for our families through us, yeah, through what God does in us and through us. So with that, Paul's excited. Paul's excited for the Ephesians. And then Paul goes into this section about prayer, which I find interesting, because just like this guy that we saw, Michael Jr. is his name, I don't know how to pray. Pray for your neighbor. Well, I don't know. These bumps go down on her face. I don't know what that means. But we get in these weird predicaments of prayer. We usually use prayer as, and when I say usually, we usually use prayer like, oh no, my dog is lost. Pray that I find him. Right? Let's pray the Packers win today. Right, that's a righteous prayer, okay? Let's pray for Susie's bunion on her foot. Oh, who do we got here going on? The Vikings. I don't think enough prayer. If the whole world prayed, and sir, I'm talking about things I don't know about because I'm not a sports guy at all, so the Vikings could be killing it right now, and I have no idea. You don't? Okay. All right. Go Redskins. I'll get behind anybody you tell me to. Okay. So we usually have these prayers in times of need, right? Like, oh, help Susie's bunion on her foot. And not that these things aren't needs, not that these things aren't important to us, not that these things don't wreck our worlds. But some of it in my prayer life is weak. Because I pray for the temporal, the temporary. Does that make sense? Instead of praying for things that actually matter in the long term and things that actually are going to make real change in my world, make real change in your world, here I am praying for a lost dog. Not that these things are bad, not that we can't say these things to God, not that we can't express these things to God, not that health, praying for health is a bad thing, okay? Not that praying over somebody's health situation is a bad thing. Don't mishear me, but I think we discredit ourselves in prayer because there's so much greater things in prayer, in our prayer life, in my prayer life specifically, that would actually do me more good than getting over a cold, than finding my dog, than the Redskins winning. And so Paul, he presses in on these people that know Jesus, know this way of life, and they're doing really well with it, Paul says. Okay? They're doing awesome at it. And then he says, this is my prayer for you. And this is a prayer of hope that he prays over these people. He says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. How many of us do that? Thanking God for people that know Jesus. I don't. God, thank you that they know you. God, thank you for your salvation that you've brought to these people. Man, I don't know as I pray that. I don't know as that's a part of my prayer life. But he goes on. He says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Now, again, if you read chapter 1, if you read everything up to this point, he's bragging on them and saying how good they're doing. He's bragging on them and saying how good they're doing, and then all of a sudden he's praying for this spiritual knowledge, this insight, this wisdom, that you might grow in the knowledge of God. He goes on to say, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given those he called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Now, this is a people that I would assume is their hearts are flooded with light, the way in which he's speaking about them prior. These people know Jesus. They understand this light. He goes on to say, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's hand, right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ, that's Jesus, and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. It's kind of an interesting prayer to pray that people that have it figured out, right? Why would you pray these things for people that already know Jesus? It's because I'm guessing the Ephesians are much like us today, right? Put yourself in that story today, right now, and pretend that Paul's addressing Whitewater, because he's not really. Yet again, another joke that just fell flat. Paul is addressing us. So let's just assume that Paul is addressing us, and we're hearing this letter. And for those of us in the faith, those of us that claim Jesus, he's speaking to you. Why would he pray this prayer for you, for us? Any ideas? You can speak. Don't raise your hand. Just speak, man. We're not in class. Come on. He knows that we can still get closer to him. Yeah. Kind of goes with our mission statement, our why we exist at Whitewater, of moving two steps closer to Jesus. That's a persistent action. We don't just move one step and quit. even though that's kind of the misconception of Christianity a lot of times. That's how I lived my Christianity. I said yes to Jesus, and I got baptized, and that's where it stopped. I was good. I don't want to go any further. God, I'm not going to give up my way of life, my way of doing things, but I know I need you. The closer we are to God, the more Satan tries to pull us away. And so what does your life look like when that happens? Is it chaos? Yeah. I think of my life in just being complete chaos in those moments because it's very confusing. All of a sudden, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And then I start to react to the things around me, the temporal. I start to react to the temporary. You know what? I'm pissed right now because my dad said a harsh word about me. He would never do that. He's a very gentle man. If you're listening to this, Dad. Yeah. No, you know, I'm pissed because this happened in my family, so I'm going to react poorly. I'm going to react in a way that doesn't reflect Jesus, right? And so I think, yeah, that deeper knowledge. What else? To glorify God. There's always more of God, and we never get to the end of Him. That's a pretty big God, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. We have to accept that He's the one in front of us and we're following Him. And all we have to do is follow Him. What else? Our actions, what? Our applause, yeah. No, I don't think that's it. No, I'm just kidding. Greg's a good friend of mine. I can say things like that. No, yes, that the church would settle into a way that is just small prayer, minor things, things that don't make sense, things that don't make importance, but you know, that's where we settle at. Man, yeah. What else? Don't be scared. Don't be shy. I think all of those things are definitely the it, for sure. I think all of those things are what Paul is addressing. And it's an interesting thing because when you think of Paul's history of following Jesus, he wasn't always a Jesus follower. He came late to the game, right? Paul's figured this stuff out within this real short time span. As he's addressing these churches and he's going on these missionary journeys, he had this massive shakeup with Jesus. This violent encounter with Jesus that wrecked his heart, that wrecked his spirit for the good. And so Paul's playing catch up, and I wonder what his prayer life was prior to this, because it was very much that Jewish law-driven prayer. It was very much ritual. You say things that you found written down. I don't know as you necessarily prayed as Paul prays in this prayer, right? So somewhere along the lines, Paul has learned this and learned the importance of this and learned the depth of what he's praying for and learned the depth of how to teach other people how to pray. And I find it incredible. William Hendrickson, he's actually, you guys are echoing him or he's echoing you. Every answer you gave was 100% on. He says this, "Now it was the Spirit who imparted wisdom." When Paul's talking about wisdom, he's talking about this spiritual wisdom that only comes from who? These four people get it. Do you all understand? It comes from who? Holy Spirit, which is God, which is Jesus left the Holy Spirit when he left earth, right? This helper that he promised would come. Okay? So this Holy Spirit, he says, "Now it was the Spirit who imparted wisdom, the Spirit who also revealed the truth." So I think of the situations that we get in, like this devil coming to us, making a mess of our lives, making chaos in our world, and I think of these situations about truth. The truth is a really powerful word because there is truth to be found. There's truth to be found in how you respond to the situations around you when your world is in chaos. Very rarely do I respond ask my wife, in a way that reflects truth instantly. If you want to understand what that means, ride around Laramie with me in my car. Anybody else that's not in my car that's driving in front of me is stupid. That's a tame word, okay? That's a tame word. They can't drive at all, and it would be best if they just all died, and I was the only one on earth to drive around, okay? That's kind of the severity of the situation with me and my patience and my ability to respond to truth. And my wife's always like, hey, you don't know what those people are going through right now. Whatever it is, it shouldn't cause them to drive 20 miles under the speed limit. I love the people that have emergencies or somebody's in the hospital and they have to drive 80 miles an hour down the road to get to where they need to go. I'll follow that person. That person's awesome. But my wife always tries to speak truth into this situation, and I don't allow truth to be spoken. I get upset because it's, you know, it's affecting me. It's affecting how soon I can buy milk and bread or get to the office. And so there's this instant, this truth. That's a powerful word. Let's keep going. The Spirit who revealed the truth. For these early Christians, he's talking about the Ephesians, who so recently had emerged from pagan fear. So think of the Gentiles that now know Jesus. They come out of pagan religions. They come out of worshiping, what did we say, Princess Diana or Princess Diana? All I could hear was Elton John's song. Oh my goodness. Diana of the Ephesians, this goddess that they had this huge temple in this town. And they had pagan worship, and pagan worship wasn't known for really cool things. Pagan worship, a lot of it was known for worshiping inanimate objects, or you could make any kind of thing that you wanted to. When you saw Moses leading the Israelites, Moses went up to the mountain to talk to God. Moses was gone more than 30 minutes, so they said, we need something to worship. So they all start melting their gold down and made a cow. I've never had any inclination to worship a cow. But that's what you do, apparently, when you don't see God. You got to have something to worship. You got to have something. So this pagan worship was a real thing. This pagan worship was a big deal here. This pagan worship is a real big deal here in Laramie, too. And you know that? In your worlds? In my world? Okay. Had emerged from pagan fear, superstition, and immorality, who were able to communicate with Paul only by letter or through a messenger, because remember, Paul's in jail, and who were living in the midst of a heathen environment. Wisdom and revelation were doubly needed, and this is not only in order to gain a clearer insight into the way of salvation, but also to know just what was the right course to follow in any given situation, like we just talked about. What they needed above all was clear knowledge of God, including joyful recognition of God's way for their lives and a willingness to follow His direction. Now, this was not merely a matter of the intellect. This isn't just a matter of changing the way you think, right? Far more was at stake. Hence, the apostle continues his prayer. He's addressing this heart issue. He's addressing this prayer issue, this in all things that we do, in everything that we do, whether we lose our dog, whether the Redskins win or lose, whether we grandma's bunion is successfully removed, or whatever the case may be. There's this higher level of thinking. There's this higher level of spiritual engagement that's needing to happen, and that's that people engage the Spirit. That's that what Matt said. People are applauding God by the way in which we are living our lives in obedience to what God has called us to be and do, right? So in all things, Paul is just pointing us back to God, just like all the greats did. John the Baptist, that was his big thing. He just pointed to God. Look, I'm just paving the way for God. You need to know God. You need to understand God. You need to see God for who He is, and you need to understand your place as His creation in this beautiful world He's created. You need to understand that. And so in these times where we get all crazy and we get in our worlds fall into chaos and God is pointing to Himself, Our prayer should reflect what Paul is praying. And I love the last part of his prayer. He talks about this understanding, this what does he say here? I don't want to get it wrong. That you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead as he seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand and in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Paul understands that the best way to drive away old sinful tendencies is no longer to concentrate on them, but rather on the blessings of salvation. You understand that? We find them in this word. We find them in Scripture. The very thing that we don't want to read or acknowledge sometimes, the very thing that we don't want to go to, the very thing that we can go read novels and just, you know, I just haven't read the Bible yet. It's kind of weird. Or we binge watch Stranger Things 2 on Netflix. Amen. Who's watched it? Come on. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But we look to those things. We fill all of our lives with those things. And then when it comes time for our prayer life and this wisdom and this knowledge and this spirit-driven stuff, we kind of fall short because we don't know what it is. We don't know what it looks like. We have no idea why we need to be joyful as Jesus people. But Paul knows. Paul knows that the best way to drive away old sinful tendencies is no longer to concentrate on them, but rather on the blessings of salvation. So when nothing is going right and everything falls apart in your life, go to this prayer in Ephesians. God, grant me wisdom. God, grant me knowledge in this situation. I know these drivers are stupid, and they're probably not going to be in heaven. I'm telling you, it's a bad thing when I drive. It's not good. I repent. When everything falls apart, there is truth in this situation. There is spirit. There is wisdom. And God wants to speak into the situation if you will say yes to it. If you will seek that out. How about when everything's going right? What's that?
Hardest time of all.
Everything's going good. There's no stress in your world. There's no reason to pray, right? Come on, let's be honest. Everybody's like, oh. No, that's real, right? Why would you pray when everything's going good? Your bank account's up. Your dog is healthy. Everybody in your family's well. Your cars are functioning as they should. You have food on the table every night. What's there to ask God for? That's what we need the most. When everything's going right, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation. I want to know these things. I want to know you deeper. I want to know you better. I want to continue to progress deeper into this spiritual life that you've given me. That I'm not wasting it, that I'm not just surface leveling it, God, because there's beauty at the surface level. But man, when you start plumbing the depths of this spiritual world, the spiritual life, God's going to blow your mind. I don't have time to give you all the stories of the things that have happened in my world in just the last 9 years of being here in Laramie. When everything's going wrong and everything's falling apart, when everything's right, how about the knowledge of knowing that God has never changed and he never will? I am a few chapters away from completing the Old Testament. And it's easy to read the Old Testament in a tone where God hates you. Has anybody read it? The whole thing, cover to cover? It's easy to read the Old Testament in a tone that God is very angry, very judgmental, very wrathful and vengeful, and he is. But it's because people like me reject him. It's because people like me refuse to look at God for who he actually is. It's because people like me refuse to see and acknowledge God and ask for spiritual wisdom and revelation that supersedes my own way of doing things. It's because I deserve it. So I read through the Old Testament and I gain this knowledge of God, and then I read through the New Testament and it never changes. God never changes. Jesus never changes what God has said necessarily. He never says anything that God hasn't already said other than I love you. I really want the best for you. Now understand, hell is real. Understand that there is a wrathful side of God. Understand that God's called every single one of us to be a part of what he's done here, but not everybody's going to respond to that call. But he loves you. He never changed and he never will. It's not in God's nature to fall apart. You know that? Or fail. Even when our situation does. It's not in God's nature to fall apart or fail or leave us flat. It's not in his nature to let us fail. Let us down. Let us fail. Break into pieces. That's hard to understand sometimes in the situations that we bring in on a Sunday morning. It's hard to understand in your situation right now where you feel your life is in chaos. It's not in God's nature to have that. But we won't know that if we're not seeking his wisdom, his revelation, his way of doing things, this deeper way in the spirit in which we should operate. We won't see that part of it. We'll only see the surface. We'll only see the temporal. We'll only see what's our situation here. But even in the midst of the crappiest situations, I've seen God shine. It doesn't always end up with me coming out unscathed. You know that? Yeah, you do. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt, get some bumps and bruises, need a Band-Aid. Doesn't mean that we don't live in an evil world with evil people that take advantage of us. What happened in the church shooting? What happened on all the bombings and people throwing acid on people? There's some evil people in the world sent and hell-bent on your destruction, but there's a way in which we operate and a way in which we love this world, even regardless of how they are to us. If we're asking for this spiritual wisdom, this knowledge, this way in how we handle ourselves. He's been God a long time, as you said. It's funny that all these things I have here in my notes, and a lot of them you guys have hit on already. He's been God a long time. And he knows what he's doing, which is hard to believe, right? I feel bad for the people that James wrote to in the Bible. Because this was in a very oppressed people, a people that were just getting hosed on all sides. And James keeps calling them to this way in which they operate, this way in which they live in community with one another, this way in which they live in community with this world hell-bent on their destruction. I would hate to receive a letter like that from James. I know you're angry, but God called you to live like this. Hey, you know what? I know these people are taking advantage of you financially, but God called you to live like this. James, why don't you just shut up? I actually tore the book of James out of my Bible. I do edits like that. I rip whole chapters out, and then I highlight with a Sharpie, a black Sharpie. That was not a joke. That was a joke, yes. Yeah. But he's God. He's been doing it a long time, and he knows what he's doing. So it comes back to this trust, and that prayer is very much that trust in God. God, man, reveal more. Show more. You've been doing this a long time. I get it. I understand it. Teach me what you know, because my way is not working. That's the beauty of Paul's prayer. That's what we're going to pray together. Can we do that? Can we do that? Is it weird? Last time we prayed together, I made you guys get up and actually physically, I think, touch each other's shoulder and look each other in the eyes. Eye contact is the worst, man. Isn't that intimate? That's why a lot of times when I worship, you'll see me close my eyes, because I don't care about you people being here with me. That's the honest truth. I only care about God, and that's a very intimate moment. So, but I want to pray this together. I want to pray this with Paul. And I don't want to just stop today praying it. I don't want to just pray this over you when you leave and everything's good. Great teaching, Pastor. Or I'm never coming back to this church again. I want you to continue to pray this in your worlds, in your lives, and watch God reveal and do what he's going to do. Watch your depth spiritually go deeper and deeper and deeper. What's going to happen is I'm going to start seeing you guys get skittish. Because God's going to start calling you into some things. God's going to start calling you to respond to some things that he wants you to do. He's going to ask for some obedience in your world. Just some. He doesn't want all of it. That was also a joke. He's going to start calling you to obedience, and it's going to be weird because you're going to be like, you know what? I'm a total wretch. That was really harsh. I was going to say introvert. I'm a total introvert, and you know what? Community's not my bag. He might be saying, hey, extroverts, you're all over the place. Why don't you pull back and spend some time with me? Why don't you pull back and get real with me? You don't need to go hang out with all these people all the time and say yes to every calendar thing that you've got. You don't need to do that. What you do need is to pull back and be with me. You need to hear from me. He might be calling you into community. He might be calling you to give up some wretched form of life that you've lived up to this point. And when he does, understand that he's been God a long time. And he doesn't desire to see you fall apart or fail. He desires to see you live in joy. He desires to see you live in such a way that God gets the applause, that he gets the applause out of the way in which you handle yourself and do business in life. So we're going to pray this together. Can we do that? You already gave me permission. I don't know why I ask you again. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to pray this together, and I want you to keep praying this prayer as the week goes on. I want you to, if you print it off and put it on your mirror in the morning, I don't know what you need to do to understand this and to let Paul's words soak in and be a part of your everyday prayer life. I prayed this for you all week as I prepared. I prayed this for us. God woke me up, I believe, at 3 in the morning, and I couldn't go back to bed, so I prayed it more. God, sink this deep into our hearts, sink this deep into our souls. And we understand this. Let's pray it. God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us spiritual wisdom and insight, so that we might grow in our knowledge of you. God, we pray that our hearts would be flooded with light so that we can understand the confident hope that you've given to those you've called. That's everybody, God. Whether they want to acknowledge it or not, that's everybody. God, your holy people who are rich and glorious that are your rich and glorious inheritance. God, we also pray that we'll understand the incredible greatness of you and your power. God, the same power, the same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at your right hand in the heavenly realms. He is far above any ruler, authority, or power, or leader, or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God, you've put all things under your authority, or under the authority of Jesus, and made him head over all things for the benefit of us, your church. God, and we know that we are Jesus' body here on earth. And that we are made full and complete by Jesus who fills all things everywhere with himself. God, help us to remember. Help us to understand. God, help us to be concentrated on these things that point to your blessings of salvation. God, when nothing's going right and it all falls apart, you are good. God, when everything's going right, you are good. You've never changed and you never will. It's not in your nature to fall apart or fail. It's not in your nature to let us down or let us fall apart or into pieces. God, you've been God a long time. And you know what we're doing, and we want to acknowledge that this morning. God, help us move from the temporal, the surface stuff into hope. God, may we carry this prayer of hope with us wherever we go. May we share this prayer of hope with anyone who needs it, which is everyone. God, it's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.